From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you in the new year. Great to see you. We got a great show for you today. Actress Lucy Lawless, best known as Xena the Warrior Princess, will be joining us to play Not My Job. But first, now Carl here, who retired from doing newscasts at the end of the year, is more inspirational than even we knew. Two Democratic senators and one governor announced their retirement in his wake. And Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut, he quit in an unusual way by telling the truth. He pointedly said he wasn't doing it to spend more time with his family. And he said that in front of his family. No, he said he realized he couldn't win re-election. We hope this starts a trend of honest political resignation speeches. We look forward to hearing politicians stepping up to the podium and saying,
"Well, I was caught."
Or,
"She saved the text messages."
Or,
"It turns out that's illegal in Alabama."
Well, we're ready to hear your honest admissions. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Bill Spindler from Palmer Station, Antarctica.
I'm sorry, I thought you just said you were in Antarctica?
Yep, that is correct.
Wow!
I never thought. That's interesting. You're in Antarctica.
Can I take this opportunity to settle something that's been bothering me my whole life?
Go ahead, Paul.
When you flush the toilet, which way does it go?
The water, he
means. Down.
It goes down, yeah. Although from our perspective, it goes,
it goes up,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right.
I have to ask, what, sir, are you doing in Antarctica?
I work for the National Science Foundation, supporting research on the Antarctic Peninsula.
Right. And it's summer there, right? January is summer in Antarctica.
Yep.
Yeah.
Summertime.
So it's balmy and beautiful, and you're running around in your bathing suit.
Well, sometimes, yeah. We have open water. It's almost 40 degrees here right now. So.
Really?
Wow.
And you called from Antarctica to Chicago to rub our faces in your good weather. Well, it's a pleasure to have you join us on the show from the bottom of the globe. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Phil.
Next, Phil, say hello to writer, director, and comedian Paul Prevenza.
Hello, right? Phil.
And Phil, say hello to a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She'll be performing next at the Capitol Civic Center in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Miss Paula Poundstone is right here.
Hi, Paula.
So welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will start our new year with three new quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice and your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I think I'm ready. I've been living in this little bubble down here for a while, so yeah. I'll do my best.
All right, here we go. Your first quote was somebody trying to give us all some reassurance.
It covers up the dirty bits.
That was James Carafano. He's a homeland security expert at the Heritage Foundation, telling us not to worry about the naked pictures that we're all now going to have made of us as we go through what?
The new security scanning.
Right, at the airport. Exactly right. Airline security. As we all know, on Christmas Day, some clown tried to blow up his underwear in a flight to Detroit. Well, this week, President Obama announced he's going to take the blame. He announced that in his administration, heads will, well, not roll so much, but cock sideways like a puppy's as they are gently criticized. Now, the real people to suffer, of course, will be us air travelers, as we will now have to endure the full-body scanner, a kind of standing X-ray that will broadcast our full Monty to security personnel. We're assured it'll be seamless. You pass through the scanner completely clothed. Your image is transmitted to a closed room elsewhere, and then a very happy TSA employee will pop out and put a dollar in your belt.
I understand they're soundproofing those rooms a lot for the laughs.
Yeah, I know.
That's the part that scares me the most.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought they had already started it, and so I just went to the airport naked. And
save time and trouble.
It's going to be harder to do tomorrow when I fly back from Chicago, but, yeah, and I wasn't the only one naked there.
We imagine this is going to be so intimidating, it'll be kind of a boon to the fitness industry. You know, people are like, oh, man, I got to hit the gym. I'm flying to Sacramento next week, and I got to make weight. All right, Phil, very good. Here is your next quote.
If you look at it, it's a really bad idea. Every time the toilet is flushed, they've got to pump water half a mile into the sky.
That was a man named Jim Crane talking to CNN about a building with the world's tallest plumbing system, as well as many other firsts. It opened this week where?
In Dubai.
In Dubai, yeah. Exactly right. The tallest building in the world was unveiled this week in Dubai City. It was originally called Burj Dubai, the Dubai Tower, but was renamed after the Sheikh of nearby Abu Dhabi, defeating a writing campaign to name it after Sigmund Freud. The 168-story building celebrated its opening with this big party on Monday. It was really cool when the confetti thrown from the roof destroyed cars parked around it and in some cases dug itself 2 feet into the sidewalk. There are people who think that building a kilometer-high tower on sand is not a good idea. But don't worry, engineers who built it assured it's safe. For example, and this is true, the building is musically tuned to resist the harmonics of the desert winds. That's the good news. The bad news is it is tuned to play the theme from the Towering Inferno. All right, here, Phil, is your final quote.
You don't necessarily want the ladies of The View sitting around you when you watch them.
That was a tech analyst warning us about the big new television innovation on display right now. At the big consumer electronics show, what might be soon coming to our living rooms whether we want it or not?
I have no clue.
Well, even if you don't wear glasses, you'll have to wear glasses watching TV. That help?
Oh, 3D in your living room?
3D TV! We're excited. Sony, Panasonic, and Samsung, among others, are making 3D-capable TV sets. ESPN and Discovery have announced they'll start programming in 3D. And the new lineup of 3D programming is just going to be great. During Shark Week, Discovery Channel is promising at least one viewer will be actually eaten by a shark. And using both HD and 3D technology, National Geographic will attempt to discover the true age of Larry King by counting the rings in his pores. You can look right down them. Another fun feature, this is 3D. You can actually watch Jay Leno's jokes land beside you on the couch and die.
I just can't wait to see how much more enhanced my experience with 2.5 men will actually be.
It's going to be, let's see, the triple that. It's like 8 men, right? Isn't it? No, 2.5, 5.
Seven and a half.
7.5 men, yeah. That'll be very exciting.
Is this because, this must have already been in the works, but like for me, the Avatar thing, the 3D of it, meant nothing.
Really?
After the first few seconds, it was just sort of what it was, and I didn't pay any attention. Well, of course, I fell asleep.
You fell asleep during Avatar?
Yeah. As it turns out, wide nose bridges exhaust me. Which I really had no way of knowing before.
Yeah, really. You probably hadn't been exposed to nasal bridges that wide.
No. I don't know why your movie reviews are not syndicated.
I don't know why either. Yeah, no, I liked the glasses, but I didn't think that
hated the movie.
They were. Yeah, I liked the glasses better than the movie.
Carl, how did Phil do in our quiz?
Phil had 3 correct answers, so he wins our prize, and I'll be doing a message on his home answering machine way down there in the Antarctica.
Phil, thank you so much for calling, and have a fine, fine, warm winter down there at the bottom of the world.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You too.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, Australian researchers have come up with a novel way of letting lifeguards know when great white sharks are lurking near the beaches. They're equipping the sharks to do what?
To pop their little heads out of the water and go, I'm here. No?
I'm just imagining that. It seems so sporting of them. They come out and they go, I'm going to count to 10.
Well, instead of scanning for that dorsal fin, the lifeguards will just look at their phones.
The sharks will call them?
Even better.
That's silly.
No, even better and hipper, the sharks will text them.
The sharks will text
them? The Australian Department of Fisheries has tagged 70 sharks with the GPS units that automatically send texts to lifeguards when the sharks get within a certain distance from the coast. So, you know, a lifeguard will be sitting there and only going to beep, beep, look at his phone, and it'll say, you're going to need a bigger boat. or depending on the shark, maybe it'll say, it's what's for dinner. Either way, message is received.
This will be no boating accident.
Sharks, of course, you know, the sharks love the cell phones. The sharks are going nuts. They're texting each other all the time, and they've come up with their own, little texting shortcut acronyms like we've got. So they've got, TFF, which is Time for a Feeding Frenzy. IBT, or I'd Bite That. Or this one, ROTFES, which means Rolling on the Floor, Eating a Surfer.
Sharks patrol these waters. Sharks patrol these waters. Don't let your fingers dangle in the water.
Thank you so much. Right now it's time, of course, for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lauren Castelli calling from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
You sound great. You sound very excited.
I am so excited to play. I can't wait.
When I think of Texans, I think of them as being more laconic.
I'm actually not a native.
No,
really?
No. Welcome to the show, Lauren. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Lauren's topic?
Castle. Carl Castle.
This week, we read about an international crime that had Carl asking for his morning coffee shaken, not stirred. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about dastardly deeds being done by border-hopping ne'er-do-wells. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Bring it, panel.
Okay. Whoa, she's ready, baby. First up, let's hear from Paul Prevenza.
An international ring of high-tech hijackers diverted a shipment of presidential gold coins headed for distribution from the Franklin Mint in Pennsylvania. Hacking into the shipping company's computer, the coins were sent instead to Switzerland, where the thieves intended to melt them down and sell the gold on the black market there. The gold coins that arrived, however, were not from the Franklin Mint in Pennsylvania. They were from Hershey's, Pennsylvania. They were Hanukkah gelt. Chocolate coins wrapped in gold-colored foil for the holidays. Oi, said one Interpol agent. Their heads must have been spinning like dreidels. I keep imagining them trying to unload 10,000 pounds of chocolate in Switzerland.
An international gang of thieves ends up with gold chocolate coins rather than the real thing. Your next story of global intrigue comes from Paula Poundstone.
Police have uncovered what they are calling the Abominable Snowman Gang, a lucrative international gang of freezer truckers, snowplow operators, and ice cream trucks that are employed by businesses to do snow hits on their own businesses for insurance fraud. When Jouret, France, woke up to 4 inches of snow, popular downtown restaurant Francois Chez Fromage was covered in about 4 feet of the white stuff, resulting in thousands of dollars of damage. Similar reports from Italy, Germany, and Belgium received extensive coverage on the European equivalent of the Weather Channel, but when the unusual weather pattern struck a restaurant in Estoril, Portugal, law enforcement took an interest.
Smugglers of snow to create damage for insurance fraud in Europe. And your last story of an international crime comes from Kiri O'Connor.
International crime makes you think of Jason Bourne, casinos, wild, gorgeous women, and left shoes, right? Sure, if you're in Sweden, where international shoe theft is not unusual. Take Saturday, when two men stole 7 display shoes from a store in Malmo, all lefties. Their genius plan was to cross a river bridge into Copenhagen, Denmark, where a store display featured only right shoes, and they could steal the mates. Alas, the Swedish police caught the guys. We'd like to think they were easy to apprehend, hopping across the border bridge on 1 foot.
So here are your stories from Paul Provenza. A gang of thieves thought they were stealing gold coins, got chocolate instead. From Paula Poundstone, a gang that would smuggle snow from one country to another to create insurance fraud. Or from Kiri O'Connor, a group of thieves who stole only left shoes. Which of these was the real story of international crime in the news this week?
Oh, gosh. You know, over the past 2 months, I've listened to 3 years' worth of archived episodes online.
You poor woman.
Thinking that maybe that would help me if I ever got on the show. And I'm afraid it hasn't.
Okay. Did it hurt you in any way?
There are long-range damages.
Yeah.
Gosh. I don't think anyone buys those presidential gold coins, so okay. I doubt they've even made any.
Brutal.
I really think it's got to be, I think it's the shoe thieves.
You think it's the shoe thieves, the thieves who stole yes. only left shoes, hoping to get the right shoes across the border?
I think so, yeah.
All right, that's your choice. It was Kiri's story. Well, we talked to a journalist who covered this crime.
Apparently, this is not all that uncommon. The thieves can target the one set of stores where the left shoe is displayed and then find other stores where the right shoe is displayed.
That was David Landis. He's a journalist for Stockholm-based newspaper The Local. He covered the shoe theft story. Congratulations, Lauren. You got it right. Well done.
Oh, I am thrilled.
As well you should be. You're into point for Kiri, but mainly you have won our prize, Carl's Voice, on your home answering machine.
I know.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you're even more excited than you were when you joined us.
Indeed.
Thank you for playing with us today.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. He's a dancing fool.
You got two left feet.
Always thinks he's cool.
You got two left feet.
You got two left shoes.
You got two left feet.
He ain't got no clue.
You got two left feet.
He's a crazy dude. He got no rhythm, but he's sure.
And now the game where we like to hide our excitement about talking to famous people by asking them silly questions. It's called Not My Job. Lucy Lawless is kind of like King Midas, but for nerds. Every sci-fi or fantasy thing she touches turns to gold. Xena Warrior Princess, Battlestar Galactica, they're classics of the genre. They're the kinds of programs nerds will tell their children about if they ever manage to reproduce. Lucy Lawless is now starring in the new Starz Channel program Spartacus Blood and Sand. It guarantees that pasty people will be dressing up as its characters at conventions for decades to come. Lucy Lawless, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Oh, thank you.
As everybody, I can make fun of these people because I am one of them, so I feel that it's all right. So you have kind of become, maybe through no fault of your own or no intention of your own, kind of a go-to woman for sci-fi and fantasy.
It wasn't part of my ambition, but I don't know, sci-fi shows seem to like me, so hooray.
Hooray for you. And you've always had a very good relationship with the fans. You get a lot of comic
conventions. Nerds are my weakness, darling.
Really?
Yes.
I can only imagine because, you know, for people who never saw Xena Warrior Princess, Lucy played this incredibly tough, kick-ass woman who often kicked actual asses as she traveled around a fantastic land wearing revealing outfits and being very tough and having a very attractive young female sidekick.
And saucy, yeah.
Say again? And you were saucy.
We were saucy together.
Although never...
Yeah, we're even going out on Saturday night. Renee and I are going out to see a movie called Bitch Slap.
Wait a minute, Renee, the actress who played Gabrielle, your sidekick.
Right, yeah. We're going out to be saucy on Saturday.
Well, I imagine that the guys you might meet, speaking as a science fiction fan myself, might be a little intimidated by meeting you in person.
I don't know, but I think they like that.
They like.
I do. I used to get a lot of letters from, like, judges and lawyers who wanted me to stomp on them in my boots, so I understand. I hope my topic is that.
Really?
Like, shoe sex?
Where's the convention for that?
So I know you get this question a lot, but how much of Xena was you? Are you the kind of tough person who can like leap 5 feet over walls and beat up people left and right?
if provoked, I reckon I could.
If provoked, but okay, I understand. But we understand you did your own stunts. You were
not really. I mean, I did everything when the camera was on my face, but I had an amazing stunt woman called Zoe Bell. So she was really a good, at least a third, if not a half of Xena.
Right, but the war cry was yours, though, right?
All mine, baby.
Absolutely.
You're not going to ask me, are you?
I know everybody does, and I didn't want to be common, but I really do want to hear you do it. Does being Xena or having been Xena ever become useful in real life?
Only if I need to shut up a whining child in the back of a car.
Really?
Does the
Does
the Xena wardrobe ever come in handy?
I'm wearing it now.
She dresses that way for all interviews.
Talk real slow.
At this point, I think we need to hear it. So your kid's whining in the back of the car, and you turn around and you go, I'm scared.
Oh. And it makes them cry, but it's the only ace card I have.
I totally understand. And Xena, we have to talk about this, had a certain rabid following among very different demographics. There were a lot of women who were very enthralled with your relationship with Gabrielle. Is that something? Yes. Is that something you guys intentionally played up?
It wasn't initially, but I now know for sure that it was not lost on the producers when they were putting the character together. And in fact, one of the producers, the EPS, Liz Friedman, is a proud lesbian, and it was always part of her intention. So we didn't know it at the time. But
I knew it.
But you knew it.
Some of us know it.
Let's talk about the new show, Spartacus Blood and Sand. This is, of course, an updating, shall we say, of Spartacus, which was, of course, a famous movie with Kirk Douglas many years ago. This is slightly different. I don't remember as much nudity in the Kirk Douglas version as there is. The new show is great. I got to watch some of the episodes. It's a lot like the movie 300, though not so restrained and subtle. But you learn so much about ancient Rome in this show. For example, I did not know. I did not know.
That's like saying that you read it for the article.
I did. No, yeah. I'm just interested in the.
Yeah.
I just looked beyond all the naked women and the heaving softcore sex scenes just because I wanted to get more details.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
The
You've really
combat.
Tapped into the main purpose of the show.
You play the wife of the owner of the slave training school, the gladiator training school.
Yeah, I play this woman who's desperate to have a baby, and her husband's not doing it for her, so she's has this.
No, don't tell me what you're going to do. I want to be surprised. I can't imagine.
The gladiator comes into it.
Does he really?
Yeah, she's bluffing the gladiator. She's abusing them.
I understand.
I play this. My character is worse than ever. My characters are badder than ever.
So you're playing. I mean, you're playing a villain, which is fun. You played a villainous Cylon in Battlestar Galactica, but you're like full. Are you like getting into full on evil at this point?
Well, appears to be. But my aim is to make you absolutely feel like you would do the same thing in my shoes.
I just want to say...
I'm just imagining myself in those shoes, and I can't go further than that, because those are some shoes you're wearing, let me tell you.
I just want to point out, Boffing the Gladiator is a great name for a band.
That's
wow.
True. Before we go on, I wanted to go back just a second and ask you about something we read about the very beginning of your career, because if it's true, it's a great story. And what we read was that you got the job of Xena back when... because the original woman cast in it got ill.
Yeah, I was the lucky local kid on the spot who got the gig.
So they were filming.
So grateful.
They were filming. I think it was The Legendary Journeys of Hercules, the other show, and Xena was going to be a character on that show. And so somebody else was cast. And said, "Oh my God, she can't be here. She's sick or something else. Who can you woman over there? You can be Xena. Step over here."
That's right. The lucky local kid, man. Just a classic story, and lucky me.
You're like Ruby Keeler on Broadway, but with a broadsword.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, and big boots.
And big boots. Boots, she said. Boots.
Boots.
She said boots.
Boots.
Lucy Lawless, we are thrilled to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game that this week we're calling...
We didn't have the chance to say thanks.
As the new year gets started, we wanted to take a moment and pay tribute to three under-recognized geniuses who recently left us. We're going to ask you three questions about great American innovators. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice and their home answering machine. Carl, who is actress Lucy Lawless playing for?
Lucy is playing for Rachel Huffine of Portland, Oregon.
All right, ready to do this?
Okay, Rach.
All right. First off, Al Bernadine died just this week. He was an unsung innovator who came up with many boons to modern life, but chief among them was what? A, the McDonald's quarter pounder, B, the quadruple-bladed disposable razor, or C, the bobblehead doll?
The bobblehead doll.
You want the bobblehead?
Yes, because I have one.
You have one?
I have
Thus, one. You're choosing the bobblehead doll. No, it was the quarter pounder. He invented the quarter pounder, and he just died. He was a dean at McDonald's Hamburger University.
Did he die of a heart attack?
No, he did not.
All right, that would have been ironic.
He helped to contribute to the development of the Filet-O-Fish sandwich and the frozen French fry. But his masterpiece...
What a guy!
I know, but his masterpiece was the quarter pounder. He said,
yes,
quote,
indeed.
He said of his invention, quote, I felt there was a void in our menu vis-a-vis the adult who wanted a higher ratio of meat to bun. That's how they talk at McDonald's, okay?
How are you a contributor to the Filet-O-Fish?
Oh, that's a work as complicated as the Filet-O-Fish.
How many people were on that team, you think?
Oh, yeah, that was a task force.
Because there was already the fish stick.
Well, you had to develop that idea.
Yeah.
You can't just do that by yourself.
Stick, and then you take it and you split it in half.
Yes. They want a higher fish stick to bun ratio.
Exactly. Thank you, Lucy.
Who doesn't?
He just wasn't.
I just want to say, I shouldn't encourage you, but when you say higher fish stick to bun ratio, it sounds fantastically dirty. And I can't even explain what it might mean, but it... I knew I shouldn't have encouraged her. All right. Next question. Scientist Robert Rhines died in November. He was a Renaissance man. He developed radar technology for the Army. He composed scores for more than 10 Broadway and off-Broadway shows. But the one thing he was really passionate about the last 30 years of his life was what? A, perfecting a recipe for Long Island iced tea. B, finding the Loch Ness Monster. Or C, he was the world's foremost collector of Three's Company memorabilia.
Wow, that is random, man.
It is random, but one of those things...
I think there are a few bobbleheads in that collection.
One of these things was his obsession. Robert Rhines just died.
I'm going to go with the Long Island iced tea.
That he spent 30 years trying to perfect...
Say A again, but yeah.
He's 30 years trying to perfect the formula for the perfect Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it was the Loch Ness Monster. I tried.
Oh, no, man.
He said he saw something while sitting next to the lake in 1972. Spent 30 years using all his technological expertise to try to find it, including strapping cameras to dolphins. But all he ever got was a grainy picture of a flipper.
Don't you think it's rude to put a dolphin in fresh water?
They don't care.
Anyway.
Do they? Maybe that's why he didn't find it.
You see, what you don't know in the story is that over the course of that 30 years, he was drinking Long Island iced teas constantly.
All right, let's see if we can get one right here. On December 15th, we lost Curtis Alina. He didn't invent something, but rather improved it. What was his great innovation? A, he put heads on Pez candy dispensers. B, he invented the mute button for remote controls. Or C, he came up with the silver reclining lady logo for truck mud flaps.
He's a god, anyway,
whichever one it was.
Any three of those is something to be proud of. Any one of those three.
B.
If you're going to go for B, he invented the mute button. That would be a boon to mankind, wouldn't it? But I'm afraid it was A, he put the head on Pez dispensers.
Wow.
Alina was the marketing manager for the very proper Austrian company that made Pez mints when he approved putting little heads on the dispensers to appeal to kids. And the rest is history. Carl, how did Lucy Lawless do it?
He came up with that idea after having thorax surgery.
Yeah.
He should have put a thorax on this.
There you go. Carl, how did Lucy Lawless do in our quiz?
Lucy came up empty, Peter. No correct answers, no prize for Rachel Huffine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Lucy Lawless stars as Lucretia in the new series, Spartacus Blood and Sand, that airs Fridays at 10 and 9 Central on the Stars Network. It is an awful lot of fun, and Lucy, you are great in it. Lucy Lawless, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Peter. See you.
Now, before we move on, everybody, we have a bit of business that we must attend to. A few weeks ago on our show, legendary singer Andy Williams joined us to play Not My Job. And we gave him a final score, after he had finished answering questions about gadgets of 1 out of 3, not enough to win. On one of the questions, we asked him about stuff you could buy in the Sky Mall catalog in the backs of airplane seats. Turns out we made a mistake. Andy Williams joins us now again from his home in Branson. Hello, Andy, are you there?
I knew you made a mistake.
You knew it? Did you realize at the time?
Of course I knew.
I understand. Well, what happened was, we asked you which of three things was a real SkyMall product: a day clock telling you which day of the week, an eyeball massager, and heated gloves that were plugged in. Do you remember which one you chose?
I don't.
You don't remember. Well, you,
I think it was the eyeball massager.
It was, in fact, the
it?
Eyeball massager, and we said, no, because we made up the eyeball massager. We did it in our offices, laughing with glee when we did it. We thought we made it up because, as many listeners wrote and called to tell us, some as soon as their plane landed, SkyMall does sell an eyeball massager.
I knew that.
So, Andy Williams, you were right, we were wrong. I'm sure a lot of people have said that to you over the course of your career, right?
What do I get now?
Well, you know, still don't get anything, but with apologies to SkyMall for underestimating their ingenuity, we'd like to go over this again. So here we go. Carl, how did singer Andy Williams do in our quiz?
Well, with 2 out of 3 answers right, Peter, Andy Williams wins our prize for Lisa Goldberg of Roslyn, New York.
Yay, Andy Williams wins. So no longer, Andy, will that unfair loss stain your otherwise unblemished record.
It's going to be taken off my record.
It is, taking off your record. You're now a perfect human being again.
You should at least send the guy an eyeball massager.
I've already got one.
That's true. That's why he asked. Andy Williams, thanks so much for coming back on to Set Things Right. Thank you, Andy.
That's a great show. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In just a minute, Carl reminisces about his favorite old game show, What's My Rhyme? Yeah, we're getting down there, don't you think? It's our listener Lyric Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, as you know, the expression on Mona Lisa's face has long been a subject of intrigue to art lovers. Well, after close analysis, an Italian doctor believes he knows what her smile is all about. What does he say is the secret behind the Mona Lisa's smile?
Okay, I know the answer to this, but just before I give the answer, I just want to say I hate these stories. Every year, usually at a slow news time, somebody comes out with some answer to the Mona Lisa thing.
Right.
Ugh, I hate
it. True.
This one, this particular yokel, says it's high cholesterol.
You're right. That's his theory. He was speaking at a conference in Florence, and pathologist Dr. DeVito Franco said that the glint in Mona Lisa's eyes is due to a buildup of fatty acids under her skin. He also sees evidence of subcutaneous lipomas, that's little fat balls in her hands. Sounds nuts, but when you think about it, her smile does betray the sublime contentment that can only come from slamming down a couple of pounds of bacon. Now, Dr. Franco has turned his attention to other great works of art. He determined that many of Rubens' subjects had thyroid disorders, and that Michelangelo's David had recently been bathing in cold water.
That looking at her, I thought it was her eyes they were saying? I thought it had something to do with, like, not her eyes, but her smile, he was saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, her smile and her sort of facial expression in general, he thought was characteristic of somebody with high cholesterol.
But if that had been the case, so what?
Well, now...
What do you mean, so what? It's the pursuit of knowledge, Paula. We need to know this stuff.
Now we know that Leonardo da Vinci was such a good painter that you can tell as much from a painting of his as from a CAT scan.
Might be cheaper. You know, that's a really great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the escalating healthcare costs, just go to an artist. You know, can you have lunch? No, I'm being painted. Because I got a pain right here.
But my health insurance only covers an impressionistic artist. So I'm going to have one eye move to the other side of my head.
My health insurance only covers a graffiti artist.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also find out there about attending our weekly shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our upcoming shows on the road in Houston in New Orleans. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Happy New Year. This is Brian Johns from Camden, New Jersey.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Hi, how are things in Camden?
It's kind of a loaded question, Camden.
Yes, it sort of implies impending disaster.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, great community, but you feel like you're a redshirt every time you walk out of your apartment.
You feel like you're a red shirt?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
It's like the Klingons are going to attack you.
Oh, I see. It was a Star Trek reference. I'm sorry. I didn't have my geek hat on. I appreciate that.
I thought you were conveying coded information to the Resistance or something.
Right.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Brian, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks. Do that, you'll be a winner. Here's your first limerick.
We'll have Heinz or Hunt's Brew, a new batch up. Then we'll see if the shards or sauce match up. And don't smack the bottles or things fly full throttle. And we'll have more explosions of...
ketchup.
Right. Watch out, America. The terrorists are now after your condiments. Two diners at an American waffle restaurant in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, tried to apply the red menace to some hash browns. It shot out of the bottle. Psh! Splattered everywhere. They called police. They really did. And police conducted an in-depth investigation and determined that pranksters had put baking soda in the bottle, causing gases to build up so that it would...
Wow.
Psh! They say this is happening more and more across the country. So they warn American diners, before opening your ketchup bottle, point it at someone you dislike. Here is your next limerick.
At HP, we are taken aback. We intended the camera to track. It should find any face, irrespective of race. Yet it can't seem to track one that's...
black.
Yes. Hewlett-Packard has a new media smart computer, and it has face-tracking software. The idea is you turn your webcam and you move around, it'll follow you and see your face. But it doesn't seem to care about black people. An African-American man named Desi Crier made a video with a computer. He posted it to YouTube. In the video, you can see the camera happily moving around with one of his white coworkers. But when he gets in front of the camera and moves around, it just ignores him. In Desi's words, quote, "I think my blackness is interfering with the computer's ability to follow me," unquote. HP has acknowledged the issue. They blame lighting, and they say they will send the computer in for sensitivity training.
That's like, you know, the automatic faucets.
Yes.
If you're wearing black, they won't go.
Really?
When the light goes, yeah, it won't.
I wasn't aware of that.
You have to lean over to the other one and wash just use someone else's water.
This is why it's so difficult for ninjas to keep up their ablutions.
If I knew what ablutions were, I would support you. I thought that ablutions was what was in Avatar. They have tails, these ablutions.
But they're very clean and well shaved.
Yeah. Because the faucet always turns on for them. They're blue.
Yes. I don't know. I fell asleep.
Interestingly enough, the climactic scene takes place in a restroom. So you find that out. All right. Very good. Here is your last limerick.
As the coils glow, I am engrossed. But the golden bread thrills me the most. I push slices down. Then I see them brown. The clear casing lets me watch my...
toast.
Right. We believe we have the invention of the century at long last, the Magimix Vision Toaster. It sells for roughly $300. It took engineers 15 years to create. But finally, you can watch every single second of your bread toasting through the walls of your transparent toaster so as to make sure it will not burn. Engineers came up with highly complicated quartz contraptions to heat the bread from the corners so you can see the bread. Manufacturers say they could have released the toaster 4 years ago, but held off because they wanted it to be, quote, perfect. Next up, a high-tech way to watch paint dry.
Boy, I can't wait for the Toast Channel, though.
3D.
Oh, 3D.
Oh, it can't be any
like,
worse.
You'll be grasping at the toast in your living room. It won't really be there. You'll be like, Carl, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so he wins our prize.
Well done, Brian. Congratulations. Thanks so much for calling and playing.
Thank you.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Paula Poundstone and Kiri O'Connor each has 3 points. Paul Provenza has 2.
All right, so the women are in the lead. Paul, you are in third place. That means you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. After the attempted airline bombing, some senators are calling to delay the release of Yemeni prisoners being held at blank.
Guantanamo.
Right. According to a report released Tuesday, pending blank sales dropped 16% from October to November of last year. Right. Although he pled guilty and was sentenced to jail, Richard Heaney told Larry King that the blank saga was not a hoax.
Balloon Boy.
The Balloon Boy saga. One-third of the homes in the Solomon Islands were destroyed after an earthquake led to a massive blank this
tsunami.
Week.
Tsunami.
Right. Iowa Governor Chet Culver attempted to set up some friendly wagers with rival governors over college bowl games, but was unsuccessful when blank.
He was arrested.
No, the other governor simply ignored him.
Oh.
The NBA suspended Washington Wizards player Gilbert Arenas indefinitely for bringing blanks into the locker room.
Chickens.
No, guns.
Oh.
Although he was hospitalized with chest pains last week, radio host Blank said they found nothing wrong with him.
Rush Limbaugh.
Right. An intern at a British fashion magazine dropped a bombshell when she quit and announced that she had blanked.
When she quit and announced that she had gotten pregnant.
No, that she had been buying the staff full-fat lattes instead of skim lattes. The staff at Grazia magazine was stunned and horrified to know they'd been guzzling so many calories, but quickly comforted themselves with the delicious fat-free blooming onion provided by their new intern. Carl, how did Paul do in our quiz?
Paul had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Paul has the lead.
All right. Very well done, Paul.
I'm going to enjoy that as long as I can.
We have flipped a coin, and Paula has elected to go third, so Kiri, you're up next.
All right.
NBC is reportedly thinking about putting blank back in his late-night slot after the Winter Olympics.
Jay Leno.
Right. Police have determined that a man crossing security lines for a goodbye kiss was responsible for closing down the airport in blank.
Newark?
Right. In an attempt to challenge Apple, Google released their own blank this week.
Phone.
Right. Because of the record low temperatures, Florida residents are once again being forced to deal with blank.
The citrus groves.
No. Cold iguanas falling out of the trees
on
top of
them. Oh, there's that, too.
Former Chicago Cub and Montreal Expo Andre Dawson was the lone player inducted into the blank this year.
Hall of Fame.
Right. A survey of movie theater owners named actress blank the top-earning star of 2009.
Sandra Bullock.
Right. A trainee hypnotist in Britain accidentally put himself into a trance while blanking.
Looking in the mirror.
Right. The good news, and there is good news, is that Helmut Kirchmeier has really done well in improving his hypnotic skills. The bad news is that he accidentally hypnotized himself for 5 hours until his wife came home and found him staring in the mirror with the book Hypnosis, Medicine of the Mind open to page 45 beside him. Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Well, Kiri had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Kiri has taken the lead.
Well done, Kiri. How many, then, does Paula need to win?
Paula needs 6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right. Ready for this, Paula?
Yeah.
This is for the game.
Yeah.
The Secret Service confirmed this week that a third guest crashed a state dinner at the blank.
The White House?
Right. As part of its attempt to take over Cadbury, Blank Foods sold its frozen pizza line to Nestle.
Oh, gee. I know this, too. Kraft.
Exactly. On Thursday, the EPA tightened regulations, replacing Bush-era limits on blank levels.
On emissions.
Good enough. Smog, yep. In response to a, quote, increase of affection and esteem for the Pope in recent years, the Catholic Church has decided to blank him.
Give him a different outfit.
No. They've decided to copyright him. This week, the National Portrait Gallery in Britain unveiled the first official portraits of the two blanks.
Princes.
Right. Biographer Peter Biskin says that he used, quote, simple arithmetic to determine that blank had slept with 12,775 women.
It's not Tiger Woods. It's...
As far as we know now.
Yeah, 12,000. Oh, gee. I can't remember.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, yes.
Two burglars running away after being caught by a homeowner made the mistake of running into the middle of a blank.
Of a alley. alligator-infested swamp.
No, they ran into a police officer's football game. Escaping across a football field would have been a perfectly good plan if Sacramento police officers had not been holding practice for their upcoming Guns and Hoses football match against local firefighters, and if the burglars hadn't run across the field just as the Sacramento Police Department helicopter broadcast their descriptions. The result, a full-scale pylon with 10 police officers in full football gear tackling the two suspects before they made it to the 50-yard line. Carl, did Paula do well enough to win?
Paula needed at least 6 to tie, but Paula had just 4 correct answers. So with 15 points, Kerry O'Connor
is
this week's champion.
Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, now that we've seen 3D TVs, what will be the brilliant new gadget unveiled at next year's Consumer Electronics Show. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and MetLife Foundation, proudly supporting NPR's coverage of aging on the web at MetLife.org. The May Foundation, supporting the work of BringAChangeToMind.org to end discrimination and foster understanding of people with mental illness. And the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Christine Fiedler. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now panel, what will be the fantastic new gadget at next year's CES? Paula Poundstone.
An electric milk bottle that calls to you as it's going bad.
Kerry O'Connor.
Well, it's obvious. Hologram radio, thus making your car talk experience slightly disturbing.
And Paul Prevenza.
It's a new telephone system where instead of voicemail, you call somebody, and if they're not there, you get this beep, and then you know that they're not home, and you can just call back later.
And if any of those gadgets appear next year, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Paul Prevenza, Kerry O'Connor. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. It's good to be back with you. We will see you next week. This is NPR.